Live from the 1480 studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Entertainment, alongside Mr. Greg Isaac and Joseph Erdo. How are you guys?
Just sweating. Too humid today.
Sweating?
What?
Again? Yeah, it went over so well on Thursday.
That was great. We want to let our listeners know we did a live remote, of course, at the North Mountain Brewing Company in Phoenix, Arizona. That was great on Thursday, a three-hour special. Had John Waldron, the writer and producer for Locker 13.
Mm-hmm. Right in, here in the Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was with us.
Yeah, he didn't call in. He came down, and that was great. Nice little audience, and it was really exciting. A lot of fun. We gave a lot away prizes from studios, T-shirts.
I got a little wasted.
You did?
I had like two shot glasses, and that's all it takes.
You did? I didn't know that.
A beer.
A non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah, how'd you do that?
No, I think
it was a placebo effect,
so,
evidently.
It's the same thing like when I have grape juice. It's like, whoa.
This stuff
is strong.
Too much sugar.
And you start saying prayers, probably. Okay, so anyway, that was, you didn't get that joke.
No, I got it.
Okay. But that was a lot of fun. We're going to do a lot more remotes on that and mm-hmm. three-hour specials with entertainment. And, the audience seemed to like it.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I had a great time. And
I got out there to play a game show host with a 25-foot cord of a microphone, getting out, mingling with the public and asking questions.
Drew Carey, watch your job.
Yes, no doubt about it. Today we certainly have great movie reviews. Are they going to be all reviews?
Yeah, we've got reviews and discussions. Yeah, we don't have any interviews today. Probably on Thursday, and we're trying to get someone for next Saturday, someone pretty big, so stay tuned to breakradioshow.com. Click on the big F in the upper right-hand corner to go to our Facebook page, and you'll have the inside scoop on who's going to be joining us soon.
And you can see a picture of me, evidently, with what movie was
some
that?
Some Lovely Ladies. That was the Look of Love that we reviewed
on
Thursday.
Look of Lave. Yeah.
Look of Lave.
Lave.
What?
What's Lave?
Those were your slaves.
No. I thought you said laid.
I said lave.
Wow, I'm happy for you. That's why you're so tired.
He was surrounded by three ladies.
Lave, save,
they were
Dave,
his love slaves.
Absolutely.
Maeve.
Yeah.
Have.
Yeah.
And okay.
Oh.
Anyway, that was good. Yeah. So you can. That was.
You can thank Steve Coogan for the nice haircut you had there.
Who's
as well.
Steve Coogan?
That's who you were playing in. The
I thought
Look
that was my hair.
No, Steve Coogan supplied the hair.
Oh.
As you can tell, Dave doesn't have a lot of hair, and the hair he does have is a lot lighter than Steve Cooper.
Well, it's hot out here. It's sunny. It's blonde. Eric, am I right? Is it
blonde,
hot? And it makes my hair
maybe
blonde?
Maybe with a slight or
does
a
make
major
it.
Touch
have you
been of gray.
Lemon in your hair?
Yeah, I put lemon. Exactly. See, Eric knows. Hey, Eric, how are you? I haven't seen you for a while.
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here.
It's what I do.
Yeah, exactly.
Where would you be without me?
Yeah, I know. You're right. We wouldn't be here. And anyway, so what do we got? We got Fruitvale Station.
Yeah, Fruitvale Station, a very hot button film we'll talk about here first in a few moments. And The Hunt in our second segment, another hot button film. And then, of course, the big movie of this week is The Wolverine. And, so we're going to be celebrating that all day today. We've got some trivia going on. We'll be playing some music in and out of the breaks. And I think we also celebrated a little bit on Thursday's show, right? Remember who I was dressed up as?
You were Hugh Jackman.
Exactly.
Hey, what happened
like
to your beard?
Yeah. I shaved it off. I had the
it
mutton
was perfect
chops.
Length. It was unbelievable. Yeah. It was like an inch and a half, whatever he has it. Yeah. It
and great. What, you buy it? You have it now.
I have it.
Contagious.
Yeah, absolutely.
I won't ask how that got there.
Oh, this is, I went back to the 70s and went down.
70s? No. That's the 60s.
No, I think it was the 70s.
Could be the 40s.
We're talking about different things because you didn't laugh. So
no,
you
I didn't laugh.
Didn't
so
get what
I probably don't
about.
Even understand it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now, but we could do a quick review, a second look on Way, Way Back, starring Steve Carell.
Sure, yeah. We'll do that in just one second.
Yes.
I want to start us off, since we've got some of these trivias here, and I want to keep, I want to get Eric in on this as well.
Okay.
I don't know how well he knows Jackman, because this trivia is called Jack You Don't Man. Know Jackman.
Oh, Wolfman Jack. He's a DJ.
Yeah.
He knows all about Wolfman Jack, right? You listen to him.
Wolfman Jack was, yeah.
Did you ever meet him?
No. He's dead now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Actually, I think our song going into the next break is it'll be number two, and I think it's has to do with Jackman, but or Yeah, the wolf man, I mean.
So you want two going into the break?
Yeah, since we're talking about...
Did I mess up already?
That's all right. Forget about number one. I didn't care for it as much.
A number one? What did we have?
We're counting down the top wolf songs, you know, because I don't know if there's songs about Wolverines.
Oh, yeah. Like Little Red Robin Hood?
Robin Hood. Red Robin Hood. I have a surprise for you,
Robin
by the way.
Robin Hood had a bow and an arrow.
Whoever is selling drugs, please stop.
What was that? Who was that? Little Red Robin.
Little Red Riding Hood.
Oh, Riding Hood.
You know, and the wolf. And
that is one of our
Amanda
songs.
Amanda Seyfried.
Oh, good. I could win this one.
Yeah. I have a surprise for you, the last song that we'll be playing.
And we could guess what it is?
Well, you can, but you know, so
guess who it is.
Yeah,
who
it is. Exactly.
Oh, I want to know what it is.
So, but we'll start with number two at this break. But it has to do with Wolfman. But speaking of, you don't know Jackman, and we did this question, so it might be unfair. I don't know if Dave really listened, but at the Thursday
probably
remote,
not.
Probably
even
not,
if he did, he wouldn't remember. Come on, he's 80 years old.
But it's multiple choice. Which actor was Bryan Singer's first choice to play Wolverine in the original X-Men? Was it A. Hugh Jackman, B. Russell Crowe, or C. Christian Bale?
Russell Crowe remembers, yes.
He says Russell Crowe.
Christian
Bale.
Russell Crowe.
He was wrong. It was Russell Crowe.
Yeah, because I heard it before, and I defy. See, I proved Greg wrong.
He did.
Well,
no, but
too.
While he was asking it, remember, I did bring up and say, oh, okay, he remembers this one, because I knew that one you would remember.
All right, I bet I'll know the next one.
I bet you won't.
Well, we'll do it throughout the show. No, we'll do it throughout the show. Yeah. So
I was getting in my competitive mode.
Well, that's why we got to calm you down.
Usually what we do is we let Dave take a lead or two, and then that's when he comes back.
Before we go into the next break.
And then he falls right down.
All right, before we go into the next break, then we will talk. We will do another.
Okay.
But, you know, so go ahead and you saw something. Have a second look, right?
Yeah, second look way, way back. Great, big thumbs up. Great movie. I really thought it was a great movie. Mm-hmm. I thought Steve Carell, great acting. It was a uncharacteristic part for him, I thought.
Yeah.
Sort of more of a slimy car sales guy, and he was a car sales guy in the movie. But it was funny. It was heartwarming. It was deceitful, too, within the theme. And it's really about how depression, fear, and a feeling of loneliness can blind people from who they choose to go out with. It was really sad. I'm not going to spoil the movie, but I those are elements that happen in real life when you feel lonely, when you feel unlovable, when you feel that hey, you know, you just get divorced and what do? And a lot of people will go defensive. A lot of people will prove that, wait, no, they are worthy of someone else. Which impacts their children. And they don't realize that sometimes, or maybe they do and they don't care. So how adults act, it really showed how certain adults act in a selfish, dysfunctional way.
Mm-hmm.
Most of those adults were creepy. I mean, really pathetic. But there were some other adults.
Yeah.
And I won't say where, but at a certain theme park.
Right.
That really were cool, funny, compassionate, and caring about each other. It was quite a comparison, and it shows how if you can treat kids in a certain way, it can improve their confidence, their self-esteem, and actually make an impact, and the kids become the teacher.
Well, that is a great way of putting it, but you know, those two of those people at that water theme park, we actually had on the show, right?
Which ones?
Well, the bald guy.
I mean, the guy that sold bathing suits?
Yes.
I didn't know that was
him. That was...
He was funny.
Yeah, with Jim Rash.
He had a rash, too. I saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah, lucky he had penicillin.
And also, you know, one of the other guys is Nat Faxon. We had him on the
show. Which one was that?
He was... I saw it quite a while. I saw it at the Phoenix Film Festival, so it's kind of drawing a blank. But he was kind of like the right-hand man of the main guy at the water park.
Oh, he was so funny.
Yeah. And they wrote the movie. They wrote The Descendants as well.
Excellent movie. I highly recommend this movie. This was a great movie. One of the better ones I've seen this year. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely.
It had everything in it. And the acting was fabulous.
And you forgot to mention that on Thursdays we're giving away T-shirts for the Way, Way Back.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay.
The water park T-shirts, you know, with the name of the water park on it.
Well, fabulous movie. Let's get those two back now that I've seen the show so I can compliment them more. Because they were really good.
Sure.
Especially the guy, the lifeguard, he goes, hold, okay, and continue to hold. Of course, no one's going to get that unless they see the movie. It was very funny.
And they should see the movie. I think it's expanding this weekend as well. So I think it's a good timing of your review.
There. Excellent movie. There's no question. Definitely one of the best that I've seen this year.
Yeah,
so would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Two thumbs up from us here.
No doubt. No doubt about it.
So,
Greg, what do you say?
Haven't seen it, but I will.
I would recommend it. I'm not kidding you. Very nice. Okay.
So, of course, if anyone has seen any of these movies that we'll be talking about today, again, we just talked about The Way, Way Back. We'll also be talking about Fruitvale Station here in just one moment, and The Hunt and The Wolverine. What number can they call, Dave?
They could call 602-252-1480. That's 602-252-1480. Call in, join the conversation. Some great movies we're going to review with their themes.
Absolutely.
Maybe some controversial movies,
yes,
too.
Like I said, the two of these are pretty controversial. The first one especially so, Fruitvale Station. In this, Michael B. Jordan plays a 22-year-old Bay Area resident who is shot in cold blood by BART officers at the Fruitvale subway stop on New Year's Day. His life and tragic death shakes the Bay Area and the entire nation to its very core. Dave, I asked you to do a little research into this. You, tell us what you saw.
Well, what I read about this, true story, unfortunately, Oscar Grant III was fatally shot by BART police officers, or police officer, I should say. And they also had people, there's some videotapes out there. And I went to YouTube and
several.
I saw two. Yeah, one was confiscated by BART. The other ones went exclusively to one of the television stations. And then there was another one I saw that someone, I don't know if it's what, I guess it's just privately held for his own purpose. And but he put it on YouTube, and I saw two views of the shooting.
From cell phone cameras.
Yeah, cell phone cameras. And I did not see the movie yet. I saw the trailer. But it looked to me from these views, and I wasn't up close, that there were about one, two, three, about five people up against the wall sitting down, some with their hands up. Didn't seem rowdy. They were just waiting for three police officers or the BART officers to do what they were going to do. And they went, though, for some reason after Oscar Grant. And it looked like they put him, two of the officers put him on his stomach area, so he's face down.
Correct.
And it didn't seem like he was really struggling much, the guy, but there's two big BART officers, you know, sort of handling him. I didn't say mishandling, but handling, because I can't see from the cell phone.
Right.
But all of a sudden, one guy pulls out his gun and shoots him.
Right in the back.
And I go, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, no, really. I was like, what? I mean, it was shocking. Eric, did you hear about that story? It's a true story.
No, I've never heard anything about it. I was just looking it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, really? I mean, the guy was on his back. There were three officers.
On his front. They
On his front. And the other guys were just sitting there passively. Some people had their hands up. And there were three officers. It didn't look like any disturbance to me.
Right.
I don't know if they were drunk, but nevertheless, it did not look like life-threatening to the officers. I mean, to me, it didn't.
Right. So, again, there's a lot of controversy about this movie. And as far as my review goes, it's a very expertly acted movie. And it's designed in such a way that it is certain to get an emotional reaction out of some of its viewers. Okay? However, others, myself included, the more rationally thinking ones, will wonder why, lacking any intellectual insight, which is what this movie is missing, this story even warranted being made into a movie. Mm. That sounds very harsh, and I really hope people don't hate me because I'm trying to choose my words wisely.
I'm throwing candy at you right now.
I'm probably going to get those, yeah. But, you know, it is a very gut-wrenching story, okay? And I want to, you know, say that this is a very, very sad event that happened to this young man who was just starting his life. And as the movie demonstrates, he was, you know, basically turning his life around. He's a former drug dealer, and things started to, like, kind of finally be turned around for him, and he really wasn't a bad guy. You know, but the thing is, bad things happen to good people regardless of race. Every single day, the filmmaker here, writer-director Ryan Coogler, fails to acknowledge that overreaching issue, that, you know, the bigger issue that bad things happen to good people, and instead focuses on making this, or inciting a socio-political protest. You know, he's feeding off of the viewer's emotions and making this into a racial issue when what I saw, at least what I saw in the film, I'm not talking about the true event, but what I saw in the film, it was not a racially charged event.
But how about the facts? Was it racially charged?
I don't know.
Irregardless of the movie,
right.
I think that's interesting to look at because, you know, taking another point of view, I mean, you could see things happen and there may be one set of, you know, one group of people that seemed to be persecuted a lot more than others. Eric, would you agree?
Definitely, of course.
Yeah. I mean, it appears to me that way.
I would absolutely agree. Plus, maybe this wasn't in the movie, but the officer or someone involved there with the shooting, I can't say it on the air, but stuff they said that involved his
race. Yes, there were certain things being thrown back and forth between both parties. And the police officers, the BART officers, do have a job to contain the situation. So, you know, they were doing their job. Did they do it correctly? You know, that could be a judgment of, you know, each individual. But the thing is here, the officer who actually shot him was grabbing, according to what he said in his testimony,
a taser gun.
Taser gun. He was grabbing for his taser
gun. So a professional police officer does not know the difference between a real gun that can kill and a taser gun that can restrain. Are you kidding me? Eric, comment.
I was just going to say, I guess, you know, if they're right next to each other, you might grab the wrong one. I don't know.
See, that's the
thing. But as a professional police officer, you should know.
You should know where you're going.
You can't just stun someone and then say, "Whoops, I killed someone."
But they make
him to tase him.
Right, but they make him out to look like, you know, the actor who plays him.
Yeah.
Does not play a jerk at all. They make him look like a bumbling fool. And so, if they were trying to make this a racially charged event, then maybe they shouldn't have made him. You know, for the movie, they shouldn't have made him such a, you know.
So you're talking more about the movie.
Yeah, but I don't know. I haven't seen the guy. Now, what do you recall what happened to the officer who actually did shoot him?
Yeah, he's out on parole right now after, I think, serving a couple years in prison.
11 months.
Seven months.
11 months.
Oh, 11 months.
Yeah, but, yeah.
And I think the feds got involved, and I'm not exactly sure what happened on that one. You know, the feds prosecute the U.S. Justice Department on a civil rights case, so we'll have to check that out. Maybe, Greg, you could see part of the story and see if that happened.
I just feel like this wasn't a racially charged event, and the filmmaker made it into a purely racially charged event. And, you know, I could be wrong. We were never going to know, you know, just like when we were talking about the Jody Arias case.
But are you basing this on the movie or reading testimony in the court case?
Both.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Oh,
both.
He's done his homework, ladies and gentlemen.
I find it, and they do show, you know, at the end of the movie, they show you some clips that are of it.
Oh, actual clips?
Yeah, they're very emotionally charged. This guy had a daughter. So, you know, it's just a very emotionally charged movie. There's not very much intellectual insight in it. You know, had they actually, you know, maybe gone into both sides of it or tried to dive deeper into the
topic. So the movie should have maybe gone deeper into perspective.
Yes.
I haven't seen the movie, but that could make sense. But let me ask everyone here real quickly. Eric, of course, Joseph.
Joseph,
the young man there. And
nice
Greg,
to meet you.
Let's start with Greg, if this was a relative of yours and someone had two police officers had them face down, they really weren't struggling, face down, and they shot him dead without, like, wait a minute, why? What would you do?
Well,
I mean, what would you do? It's like,
well, I can't say what I'd want to do with the police officers.
But that would wouldn't that be unjust?
There would be justice.
Some people would call it an execution.
Well, okay, not that far, but
people did call it an execution.
I know, but in terms of legally, this wouldn't be the outcome, the manslaughter. He would have second-degree murder if I was involved.
Oh, okay, there you go.
The right attorneys would be there because, to be honest, this story, at least from what I'm reading, see the movie.
Yeah, I didn't see
Joseph,
it either.
I haven't read up fully on it, but at least from what I see, or from the question from Dave, at least.
From that question.
Yes,
let's go ahead.
I would make sure that the justice is certain, no matter what, but legally, not
anything. Let's go to Eric.
Well, of course you want revenge.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are a civilized society for the most part.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would just let it go through the court channels and hopefully the right outcome would happen.
Do you think it was the right outcome?
Well, 11 months? No.
Yeah, that seems pretty quick.
And what I'm saying is I would make sure the right outcome in court would be there because with this situation, there's enough where the right legal team would be able to convince.
You would think so. Now, Joseph, framing the question, and I know we're reviewing the movie, but if it was a relative and what you saw, not through the movie necessarily, because I understand part of the movie didn't give it justice, through the YouTube, so I'm sure you saw the same thing I did.
Well, they show that at the beginning of the movie, by the way.
Oh, they do?
Some of that footage, yes.
How would you feel if it was a relative?
I think I told you last Thursday that only God forgives when we were talking about that movie.
Yes, you did.
And
yeah.
So yeah, if it was a relative, no, that it would not be a very good outcome.
Joseph would go all Rambo on everything.
But that's what makes you a great independent movie reviewer, because you're independently not taking a side to look at the technicalities and the overall filmmaking ability.
Right, and I wasn't becoming emotionally, you know, charged like some of the
it
other
would be hard for
audience
me.
Members.
Yeah,
who,
and
you know.
Just for me personally, I'd be emotionally involved as a movie reviewer, because it's just like, what?
Absolutely.
I mean, I saw that. I couldn't believe what I'm seeing.
Absolutely. But Eric brought up a good point about the revenge, is that, you know, obviously there's things you think, oh, how could they do that? But you don't, you know, you don't act on it because... One, you don't want to. You shouldn't do that. But also, if that doesn't bring back your deceased family member.
Right.
But the right justice, as he mentioned, through the legal system. And I'm just shocked only 11 months. Again, I don't know the whole story. Maybe there is a little more that I'll read up on. But still, I think in general, any time that happens,
you're right. It's limited information that we have. Maybe we got to look at it more carefully.
I wanted to bring something up, so we don't forget later, because we forgot to bring this up Thursday. Mm-hmm. But earlier this week, one of our favorite character actors passed away that we didn't bring up, Dennis Farina.
Yes.
But always one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Good mouth on him, in all his movies. So, so our thoughts with him and his family. Former police officer, former firefighter himself back in the day.
Yeah. So, Eric, any more comments on this particular situation?
No.
Okay.
Well, before we take a break, as we go into our break, I want to ask you another trivia. What does Hugh Jackman do every morning of filming in order to get into the character of Wolverine? A, take an ice cold shower. B, eat raw meat. C, stab a punching bag repeatedly.
Yeah, or C, eat...
That was C.
D, Wheaties.
Okay. What answer do you
think? Cold shower.
Dave says cold shower.
That makes the most sense, but it's probably not. It's what was the second one again?
The second one was eat raw meat.
Oh boy, well then that might get him sick.
Yeah, it probably would, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and that's why I'm going to say that. I'm going to say the raw meat, because that makes
Eric.
A facial expression.
I'm going with meat too.
He's holding in the stuff.
The punching bag, right?
No, Dave gets it. Take a cold shower.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah, how does that help you get that thing?
Yeah, jumped in the shower at 5 a.m. Before realizing, he realized that. Let's see. He grit his teeth, bore it, and before realizing that this mindset, wanting to scream and lash out at something but having to hold it in, was the mentality that Wolverine is in constantly. He has taken a cold shower every morning for every Wolverine film ever since.
Nice. Oh, wow. So it's 2-0. Greg, eat your heart out. Now,
not the Russell Crowe, because I let you have that. I said, Dave will know it.
So you can Russell eat Crowe.
Well, we'll say 1-0. We'll
that's fair enough. I'd say 1-0. Okay.
Right. And I'll win 3-1.
Do you want to take a quick break? And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion on different movie reviews. If you want to call in, 602-252-1480, 602-252-1480, talk about the last movie or any of the upcoming movies we're going to review. We'll be right back. Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. certainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerham Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerham Baum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment here live, 1480 AM studios in Phoenix, Arizona, KPHX. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Greg Isaac, Joseph Erdo. I said it right.
Yeah.
And Creedence Clearwater Revival in the background. And a nice hello to Kathleen. Hello, Kathleen.
Once again, we're counting down wolf songs for the Wolverine.
Why is that a wolf song?
Bad Moon Rising. It's
classic. Oh, I guess so.
Yeah.
I thought it was vampires. Okay. Yeah. I do like Twilight. Now, so we just talked about Fruitvale Station, very controversial film, and you can hear the replay on our remarks on that. We had a nice controversy here with myself, Joseph, Eric, and Greg. BreakRadioShow.com. Go to archives. Next.
Well, we'll talk about The Hunt here, another controversial film, in just a moment. But first, another trivia question for everyone for The Wolverine. Again, we're playing You Don't Know Jack, Man. What happened to Hugh Jackman on the last day of shooting of the original X-Men? Was it A, his private parts got caught in a harness, B, he accidentally stabbed himself with his claws, or C, he was vomited on by another cast member?
Well, just because I like A, it sounds interesting. I'm going with the private parts in a harness.
Of course you would. Greg?
Yeah, or is that Howard Stern, private parts in a harness?
One of my favorite movies of all time, by the way. Wait, what was the second one again?
He accidentally stabbed himself with his claws.
Oh, I'm waiting with that one.
You're going to go with that one?
Yeah. Well, although the private part thing happened with me in a zipper once.
You going to the private parts too?
I'm going with the private parts.
Yeah.
And everyone gets it wrong.
It's the last one.
It is the last one. He was vomited on by another cast member. Now, let me credit this first. His private parts were caught in a harness, but that wasn't the last day of shooting.
Why?
Interesting.
Yes. Yeah, so I filmed that.
Yeah. But before you do it, if it's a cast member that you think we'll know of, maybe could we do that as a question?
You could.
Who do we know?
Is there a multiple choice?
Was it A, James Marsden, B, Halle Berry, or C, Rebecca Romijn?
Halle Berry.
Famke Janssen.
Michael Janssen?
No, Famke
Janssen. Jean Grey.
James Marsden.
And everyone gets it wrong again.
Oh,
it was
Rebecca
Romijn. She brought in a bottle of tequila, and unfortunately that day she happened to be filming the Wolverine Mystique fight scene, and she threw up blue-colored vomit from the chemicals in her makeup all over Hugh Jackman.
Now, this harness was a true story with the private parts getting caught up in a harness, and the harness was very, very small, according to the picture.
All right, I think we're going
to
move on.
Our apologies to Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
It was a small harness.
Yeah, Ben Affleck's is a small harness, too, but he admitted that himself.
Right. Well, moving on.
No, he did. It was weird. He had an interview where he talked about it. Or maybe he just said he only goes for 5-10 seconds at a time. It was one of those two.
Wow. Yeah. All right, The Hunt.
I'm a big fan of his, though.
Let's talk about
The Hunt. Ben Affleck?
Yeah, oh, he's great.
Chasing Amy,
but I
great
remember,
movie.
Though, he had an article like that. I thought, Ben, don't say that about
I do
yourself.
Want to say, is Chasing Amy in your top 100 films?
Not in my top 100.
Huh. It's great, but...
It's great, yeah. But not in my personally one.
I put it in
movie,
the top 100.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry, Joseph.
All right. The Hunt. Mads Mikkelsen plays a former school teacher who has been forced to start over, having overcome a tough divorce and the loss of a job. Just as things are starting to go his way, his life is shattered when an untruthful remark throws his small community into a collective state of hysteria. It's playing exclusively at Harkins Camel View 5. It's a little bit of a vague official synopsis, but let me tell you a little more about this film. This school teacher, he is accused by this little girl, I think about four years old or something around there. She's very young, of showing her his private parts. He never actually did this. And it's a series of misunderstandings where, she has this little girl crush on him and kisses him. And he kind of says, you don't do that to adults. You don't do that to anyone without asking them. Please don't do that. She doesn't much care for that. So she's got a little bit, of an anger within her. Not an anger, but, a little girl, a little grudge. And not happy with him, saying stuff like that. And also her brother had shown her, just like in passing, a picture of a pornography picture of a man with, of a man's private parts. And so he recalls it something, and she refers to that to another adult, and he is accused of doing this. And so this little girl, she's completely confused. She doesn't know if this happened or not. She knows that it didn't happen at one part, and then everyone in the whole town is saying how wrong this is and how disgusting this man is, even though he didn't do anything. And she starts getting confused in her own, little girl state, and says, well, maybe this did happen, but she still wants to be around him. And so he's chastised. He's thrown into prison at one point. And so it's quite a journey for him, and the entire town hates him. Oof. So we'll talk about the theme here in a moment, but I'm not going to bury the lead here. This is a breakthrough. This is one of the best films of the year.
Wow.
It's the kind of movie that will make you vehemently angry. Unlike most movies that do so, this new drama does not make it very easy for its viewers to find someone who aim their anger at. And that's our theme here in a moment. That we'll talk about is, who's truly to blame. But the only thing that's absolutely certain is that we're all just one little white lie away from eternal and universal condemnation, just like this man. It's a very scary concept to grasp in this movie. It's destined to provoke compelling conversations born from elevated emotions. This may be the year's best foreign language film, and it's certainly one of the best movies of the year. Again, it's a breakthrough. 5 stars.
And you don't have many breakthroughs.
Not that many. So that's you've got to go see this movie. It's playing exclusively at Harkins Camel View 5. I thought it was just terrific. I had all these emotions boiling up, but unlike Fruitvale Station, it's a very smart movie as well. Very intellectual, very emotional. It has both aspects, and you just don't know who to be angry at. And here's the theme: when a child who is too young to understand the true implications of their actions is involved, who is at fault for a ruined life? Dave, you saw a little bit, you know, you
well, I saw the trailer. I did not see the movie, and I learned more on the break about the theme. I didn't realize he was innocent when I saw the trailer because it didn't really quite
get-go, you know, that he didn't do that. So yeah. We're not spoiling anything.
So, you know, the question would be, based on these new set of information, why would a child say something that's not true? And how easy is it for a small kid, 4 or 5 years old, to confuse reality with, dream state or somewhat? And that makes it probably very difficult. Also, I know in prior cases in these type of things with schools, I think the Martin case was a big one out in California where kids, you know, were accusing the teachers, and I think in that case it was true.
Yeah.
But the psychologists, you know, you see certain movies that are the psychologists leading the kids, you know, when they're talking to them and planting information.
Power of suggestion.
Yeah, and it's not intentional usually. But so I think it's a very tough situation because you always want to protect kids, right? Yeah, I mean,
believe them regardless of the situation. But, you know, in this situation, this man's life is entirely ruined over something he didn't even do.
I know.
It wasn't even an innocent mistake, you know, on his part. He didn't do anything. It was just like a child's imagination using a lot of different misunderstandings.
Yeah, and that could be the case. So I just the only comments without seeing the movie, I mean, depends on the age of the child and if old enough, what are the parents doing that might have created low self-esteem or need for attention? You said in this case maybe she liked the guy. I didn't know 4 or 5 year olds can have a crush, but I guess they can. I don't know, but
not a serious crush, but you
but
know,
enough
like,
to get mad at someone if you.
I mean, how many little girls, you know, do you think are growing up to marry Justin Bieber or something?
Okay, yeah. No, that makes sense.
There's not the Dave Isaac little girl club or anything like that, but that's good though.
It's not sexual or anything, but it's just like a little.
Like, oh, he's cute.
I don't know what that means.
Well, that's why I haven't seen it. But yeah, that's all the time little kids are.
I didn't know that.
I'll say this though, with the movie, it's so tough to put down because. The issue is that when someone's only 4, you know, oh, their imagination. Then you wonder, okay, well, how did they get that imagination? Well, the way she did it, and that's probably what makes the movie so unique and entertaining, is she got it just from an older sibling showing the picture of the naked guy.
Who is at fault in this movie. There's several
How old
other
was
things.
The sibling?
I don't recall.
I mean, if the
I think a teenager.
Like, oh, okay.
I think a teenager. Old enough to know that that's not
don't
something that you
do. Don't show it to your little sister.
Do you know the motivation why? Was it?
He was fooling around with his friend. He was, you know, they
so
were.
So unrelated to the guy.
He wasn't trying to get the guy in trouble. Right.
Right.
He was just running by.
And that's why this is tough, because it's not like anyone's trying to get someone in trouble. This is all like a huge circle of misunderstanding, it sounds like, which, as you said, makes it tough to watch in a way, but makes it a great film. And I really want to see it.
It's especially tough to watch because, you know, things like this probably
the poor
happen.
Guy. Oh, they do. Now,
at any age, by the way.
Yeah.
Perhaps with little kids. I mean, obviously in school you see kids and teachers. Now, don't get me wrong, from a guy's standpoint, let's say when I was in high school, I'm just wondering, where were these teachers? Because who wouldn't want to have a little sex with the teacher if you're a high school
the
guy?
The views expressed in this program are not necessarily of the same.
You told me about your
host.
Teachers. but I would say this, though, is that but with this story, though, yeah, that's what makes it like I'm like, wow, this poor guy, you know, because it's the whole issue. But you can't get mad like and say, oh, the little girl's parents, blah, blah, because it's a teenage brother. And, you know, teenagers are like that. Now, granted, teenagers have naked pictures. I don't know why he's staring at a naked picture of another dude
friend were playing around or something like that. It was like they were teasing each other and just ran past her, you know.
I don't know if they were playing show the rocket or something, but kids do that, but to show it, I don't know, to a little 4-year-old like that, sibling, that's wrong, obviously.
Right.
So that's the worst part. But other than that, so you can't get mad at the parents saying, hey, why is this little girl thinking that? And then as Dave's just learning today, little kids do have crutches. My son Mason, almost three, mm-hmm. actually coming up here August 6th. But big crush on his swimming teacher.
Even though she left,
so he has some other teachers.
How do you know he has a big crush?
Because he does. He says her name, the smile. Absolutely.
At three?
Absolutely.
Taking after his daddy.
Well, I will say that
Who's
The Hunt,
your daddy?
Again, is a breakthrough. This is a great film, one of the best movies of the year. I can't wait for them to make a remake of this movie. You know, I say that very rarely because, you know, this movie is such a great movie.
It's in subtitles,
right? Right, it's subtitles. But the thing is, there's such a cultural difference between where this was filmed or where this is, I think we decided, Denmark.
Right.
You know, in America, it would be a completely different story. I would love to see this story, you know, done in America, how, you know, all the different, all the differences that would be.
And the thing would be is if people really find out, and I don't know if in the movie, so I won't ask to give it away, but obviously coming into the movie, the slogan is shattered by innocent little lie as part of the thing. So we know he's innocent, so it's not giving anything away. But do the other people around the town know this? And what happens is even if you find out, they'll always still kind of look at the guy, even though, you know, I think if a movie like this was made out here or if a true story like this, even when people realize, oh, wow, it was all a misunderstanding, I think too many Americans still, just go, oh, no, but still, you know.
Exactly.
They don't look at the whole picture.
And I will say that this movie ends on a very powerful note as well. A note that you will really think about long after having left the theater. So,
interesting.
So before we go into our next break, let's do another trivia here for the Wolverine. When we come back, we'll talk about the Wolverine. You're winning. Jackman do before filming shirtless shots in The Wolverine in order to look as ripped and cut as possible?
Private parts in a harness.
No. A, got greased up with coconut oil. B, pounded on his chest with his fists. Or C, dehydrated himself for 36 hours.
Coconut oil.
Dehydrated himself for 36 hours.
And Eric?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
What did Hugh Jackman do before filming shirtless shots in The Wolverine in order to look as ripped and cut as possible? Coconut oil, or did he pound on his chest, or did he dehydrate himself?
Dehydrate.
And that's the one it is. Dehydrated himself.
Wow, one the one.
He adopted a dehydration diet that is used in bodybuilding. He says that it made him feel headachy and faint, but he was pleased with the results as dehydrating tightens everything up and gave him the exaggerated muscle definition and vascularity.
That must be why I look so tight.
Oh, wow. Dehydrated?
Yes, I'm constantly dehydrated.
We're going to put a photo of him up on our website.
And I drink coconut oil, so we're even. Oh, no, I don't drink it. Okay, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we will review our last movie of the day, Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
And he is pretty good, Hugh Jackman, isn't he?
Yeah.
Good. And if you want to call in, 602-252-1480, 602-252-1480. This is Breakthrough Entertainment, live here on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. And I see our friend Sebastian coming into the studio. We'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Weidenauer, Heighton & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate,
commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reidenauer, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network, live from the 1480 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, KPHX. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Greg Isaac and Joseph Erdo. And guess what? It's now time to review that song. What is that song? Oh, you're good.
No.
The singing express on this program is not necessarily the host. Do that again, Joseph.
No, that's you get it once.
Oh, no, it's good, though. Oh, that is very good. Greg, your turn.
I'll pass.
Oh.
Eric, you want to sing?
Sing. Have fun with it, Greg.
I didn't do so good. Come on, Greg. You get to do it.
No, I'm just looking up the Wolverine.
That was Greg. Greg.
There you go. Okay, to turn his mic off, Eric.
I'll say
real quick, I have never seen an X-Men movie, but it's nothing against it. I just never had the chance to.
Really?
But I think, looking at this, I think I got to start. I know.
I'm shocked, Greg.
I know. Unbelievable.
All right. Well,
I've even seen those.
I'm walking out.
Before we do our review of the Wolverine, let's do one more trivia, and we have a bonus question.
It's 1-1-1, so anyone can win.
Who did Hugh Jackman contact for advice on bulking up for the Wolverine? Was it A, Dwayne Johnson, B, Arnold Schwarzenegger, or C, Mark Wahlberg?
Arnold Schwarzenegger's maid.
Wahlberg.
Okay. His love baby.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Wait, who are the people again?
A very big baby mama.
A, Dwayne Johnson.
She's gigantic.
B, Arnold Schwarzenegger. C, Mark Wahlberg. Sebastian says Dwayne Johnson.
No, he said Wahlberg, right?
Wahlberg? Okay.
Oh, man. Well,
I think Mark.
I'm thinking Sebastian knows something, but I'll be different. We'll go Dwayne Johnson.
I'm going to go Marky Mark because I think he's not a professional bodybuilder and... Well, I guess Dwayne Johnson isn't either, but I'm going Marky Mark.
And Eric?
I'm going with Schwarzenegger.
And I shouldn't have screwed that up because it's Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
So Sebastian, I followed you for help.
I suck at this game.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
But I'll tell you, our bonus question here. You know, before the end of the show, we'll do one bonus question. It has to do with that question. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So, all right. So let's talk about the Wolverine. And so you've seen some X-Men movies, Dave?
I have. Yeah.
Okay. Did you like them?
I did. The one with the airplane and the ice.
Yeah.
What one was that? That was good.
With the airplane and the ice?
What was
that? That's every X-Men movie.
Wasn't that Captain America?
Oh, yeah, maybe not.
There's quite a few movies with airplanes and ice.
No, they landed and they were in the ice. Okay.
And they got stuck and there was a snowman.
Yeah.
Well, in this, Hugh Jackman reprises his role as Wolverine, who makes a voyage to modern-day Japan, where he encounters an enemy from his past that will have an impact on his future. Pamela Jensen also reprises her role as Jean Grey.
Yeah, also, I love her.
Yeah, I bet. Yes, that's why you mentioned her earlier, huh? And she does a good job in this. Unfortunately, you know, she's dead from the last movie.
Well, how'd she
X-Men
come back
Last
then?
Stand. She's this like visions that he's having. You know?
Oh.
Because he's a very haunted guy.
You said she was dead?
Yeah, she
died. Oh,
he was
married to
her. He killed her. He killed her in X-Men The Last Stand. He stabbed her in the stomach.
I guess I don't have to
because
see
Because she
it
was
now.
Causing a mess.
Well, stabbed her in the stomach.
Right. Sorry about that, Greg. It's old. Okay. It's old already. His movies have been out since 2000. But
it's not old.
Okay, first of all, for me, I felt that this was the weakest X-Men movie to date. The good news is, though, and I know a lot of people didn't like the last Wolverine movie, X-Men Origins Wolverine. I thought that was pretty good, though. But the good news is this is still the best superhero movie of the summer. Forget Iron Man 3. Forget Man of Steel. This summer is all about the Wolverine. This is a lot of fun. I thought it's more of a contemplative study of this, you know, usually strong man. I mean, we don't usually see superheroes with these, you know, haunted pasts and all these emotions going inside. And, you know, he seems very human. He's got these very human emotions. You know, he's like a broken warrior. That's what I wrote here. He's a very broken warrior. And I will also say that Hugh Jackman, as you said, he's a great actor. He's got an innate charisma as this character. And, you know, so X still marks the spot for engaging entertainment. I'm giving this a thumbs up.
Nice.
You know, again, best superhero movie of the summer. I had a lot of fun watching this. And also, as I said, it's a very deep movie as well. You know, there's a quote in the movie, "Everything in the world finds peace. Eventually, the mind can recover from anything." One character says this to Wolverine, Logan, Hugh Jackman. And so what do you say about that, Dave?
I think no question about it. The mind can recover from anything. And if you think about it, this is how. If you change your focus, if you reframe and reinterpret the meaning of the event, because meaning is all context related. So how you look at the event, how you interpret the event will determine how you think of the event and how you feel about it. So change how you see from a qualitative perspective. That's, you know, there's quality of thoughts and there's other type of thoughts. And if you can change how you represent something in your mind, you can definitely change how the mind thinks of something.
Now, I see that from your perspective as an NLP guy.
Yes, neuro-linguistic programming.
But I'm all about how, you know, the universe does find balance. You know, it's just time heals all wounds. I mean, just things sort of like change over time. You adapt, right? Your mind adapts to a situation.
But
even
do you ever get over
painful.
It is the question. I mean, you know, you can adapt, but is it underlying still impacting decisions and behaviors? Possibly, but if you can reinterpret something to create a whole new meaning, like people that have had bad childhoods, could they look at that as poor me victim? Or could they look at this as something that as a gift to learn so they can overcome, so they can teach others who will have similar events in their life, in their childhood, so this is how you can overcome it.
Right.
And that's a difference between looking at something as poor me versus, oh, thank you for the opportunity to learn to get over something like that.
Very true. You know, but in this movie, Wolverine, you know, all of his friends, a lot of them are dead, and the X-Men are kind of like disbanded. And
I didn't know that. A lot of friends are dead in the movie? Like the girl?
What?
How'd the girl come back, though?
She is a vision. She is haunting him, kind of.
Oh, just a vision.
Yeah, it's like if
once again, Dave's supplier, please stop selling drugs.
And I also want to say that you have to. So you have
my
to
supplier
stay,
is here in the studio. I won't say which one.
Stay through the credits for this movie.
Oh,
you know, as with many movies,
like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes.
Yeah, that was good.
But this is This is one of the best mid-credit sequences that I've ever seen. It will make, you know, everyone in the theater will go wild.
So you could come in at the end if you want, if you're bored.
Don't, go see the whole movie.
The whole movie would be...
It's a good movie.
Be better.
Yeah,
okay.
So, but it sets up the next movie, next year's X-Men, Days of Future Past. Some, you know, cameos in this and really, really cool mid-credits sequence.
Nice. This is really good stuff.
Yeah, so again, a thumbs up. And let's do our one more... question, bonus question here.
And is it 2-1-1? Greg's in the lead.
Yes. All
okay,
right.
So is this worth 2 points? Yes. Who, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, all right, whatever. all right, so I told you earlier that Hugh Jackman contacted Dwayne Johnson for advice on bulking up, right? So Johnson suggested Jackman could gain a pound a week over 6 months by eating how many calories a day of an awful lot of chicken, steak, and brown rice? Without going over,
how many calories?
How many calories?
No, how many pounds?
He could gain a pound a week over 6 months by eating how many calories a day?
7,000.
7,000. Without going over. Sebastian says 7,000. Dave?
I'm going to say 20.
Come on.
I'm going to say.
This is radio. We're live.
3,100.
3,100? Okay. And Greg?
That's only 600 more than what?
7,001.
7,001?
Eric?
Okay.
I'd say 4,000.
I bet I win.
I mean, normal is 2,000.
I win, don't I?
Eric wins at 6,000 calories a day without going over 6,000 calories a day. That's how he got to look so ripped for this movie. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So, are you going to play Guess Who the Song Is?
Yeah, Guess Who is singing this song? Again, we're talking about Wolverine songs.
Wolfman Jack.
This is a song you know, but who is the singer?
It's coming up in a minute.
Okay.
So who won?
30 seconds.
Eric won.
Eric, you're the one. You won the contest.
I didn't hit it on the, you know, on the nose, but I was under.
Yeah, he's
yeah,
close,
but you still
close
won.
Enough, better than
and
you guys.
That is very exciting. For 3 points,
right.
So Eric's the winner.
So, no, 2 points.
And so we were celebrating the Wolverine. Go see the Wolverine. Go see the Hunt. And you know, you can go see Fruitvale Station.
And another way to see a lot of these, not necessarily the Wolverine, but some of
the Hunt,
other films like The Hunt, is if you have Cox, especially, you go In Demand, and the new movies that are currently just coming out the theaters, they have a lot of them there. So if you can't make it out to Camel View or any of those theaters, be sure to check that out.
Who's the singer?
Celine.
I melted when I heard this song. That'll give you a really big hint.
Melissa McCarthy.
But I
you
haven't seen any
is.
Of the X-Men.
Celine.
No, this is not from X-Men.
Amanda Seyfried.
Yes, this
yes!
is Amanda Seyfried
there we
singing
go.
This.
You're kidding me.
You melted and I lifted the table.
I'm still going to set you up with her. Yeah. Is she married yet?
I don't know, but
I think
like,
I could set you up with her.
I
biggest
don't think
crush
she's married
in the world.
Yet. Yeah.
But I guess the Little Red Riding Hood, though.
Very good.
Wow. Anyway, thank you, everyone. Joseph Erdo, Greg Isaac, I'm Dave Isaac. This is Breakthrough Entertainment. And we'll see you next Thursday on BreakRadioShow.com. Next Saturday, 11 to 12, here at 1480 AM. Be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX.